This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV. Till I Die.
Hello, good evening and welcome. Oh, look at that. There we go. That's what I wanted to do. Good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hello, wherever you are in the world. Yes, folks, it's 10 years old, but I've got it out again. Never throw anything away. You never know when you're going to need it. My cleaner came around today. I said, you do not take that down. You do that at the risk of losing your job, madam. But welcome along. How the devil are you all? It's over. And now the end is near. And so we face the final curtain. You're probably glad we're singing like that, aren't you? How quick has it gone? It does not seem 5 minutes since we were going absolutely mad at top and calling Brendan every name under the sun. Well, that was only 5 minutes ago because I still don't like the guy. And Dean Smith and what was going to happen. And here we are at the end of the season, going back up in what everybody in fairness predicted us to be. They all said, well, you've still got, you know, you're a Premier League team. And I was always saying, no, if we were, we'd still be there. So how can we be? It's going to be interesting next season. We've gone up. We may well be starting next season in the pit lane, but at least we're starting the race. And that's the main thing. Couple of things I'd just like to go through before I get my special guest in today. All the Way from America. That's a song. All the Way from America. And I'm not on a bet today to see how many songs I can get in. As you know, I wear different shirts and all sorts on the show. A lot of them I do, I'm supported by Art of Football, art_of_football.co.uk. And this is the latest one. They have got some new ones that have just come out with Champions. on. So do look out for those on the website. I have put a link on my X account. I think it sounds, when I say that, it sounds like I've got a porn account. But it's one of these here that you might just be able to see, which is really, really good. That's the front. Or you can wear it back to front and you get all that on it. And really good quality with Leicester City and everything. Very good value as well. Art of Football, search them or click the link on my X and you'll see they've got a full range of Leicester City stuff. And they also did an interview with Easy Life, the pop band, the latest band to come from Leicester. I don't know if that's a good thing because the last one was Show Waddy Waddy, so probably not. Just a quick few hellos. Hello, I'm still not attempting to pronounce your name. The other day, I'd had a few drinks. I might have been able to do it then. Ronald is in. Hello, Ronald. How are you? Craig is in. Hi, Chris, and all LCFC fans. Hi, Craig. Andreas is in. Hello, mate. How you doing? Spencer, hello, sir. Good to see you again. Highfield, still on his witness protection tour of the country. Where are you tonight, Highfield? They are still coming for us. Yes, they are. The problem that they can't come to us for is come after us now, Leeds, is because they've lost their open top bus because we've got it for Sunday. Tell you more about that later on. Paul is in, John is in, and Craig is in. We are the champions. And I would play that music again, but every time I play it, YouTube send me little things saying, you're naughty, you can't play that. What do you want to do? Give your money away or take it down? And I have to take it down. But look, I've got to show you this. There's not often that you know what my jokes are like, don't you? They're not exactly the funniest, which is why I probably have a radio show. I make Tony Blackburn look like not Jim Davidson. But my American guests go, who the hell are they? Never heard of them. But I've got to say this. I went on to X earlier and there was a Leeds fan. And I'm going to have to show you. Let me show you what he put up. Whoopsie-daisy, let me press the right button. There we go. So he put up on his X account, not a single club's fans in the country, when the fixtures come out, will ever look for Leicester. Every single club in the country will look for Leeds. That will never change, nor has it ever. Now, I couldn't resist. This is the first time all season I've actually posted on a Leeds Twitter account. But I've said, you're right. Swansea, Preston, Millwall, QPR, Stoke will all be looking for when they play you next season. I was rather pleased with that, I've got to say. But look, thank you very, very much. We'll take the champions down now. He didn't reply. Funny that. He's probably crawled back under his stone. But there we go. So I'm going to get my guest in now. Please give him a warm welcome. And we're not gloating because, you know, but we're obviously in a good mood because we've gone up. They've still got a battle on their hands and they probably wish that we were putting our flip-flops on and being on the beach. But somehow getting the trophy, I don't think we will be. I will take you back while I bring him into the start of the season. And do you remember when I was playing this?
The Premier League? That's so last season. It's all about the Championship here on LTID TV.
Now that's what I call football.
You hit the right spot.
Let me bring... There he is, Dirk. How are you doing, sir?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm very... Well, I'm very, very happy. I have a feeling you're probably not quite as happy. I've been doing a lot of Talk Sport, which is what is our national sports radio station over here, over the last 3 days. I do the podcast with them as well. And they always say, how are you doing? And I'm going, yeah, surprisingly, I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. 2 days, nervous?
I don't know. It is what it is at the moment for Blackburn Rovers. And I try to look at this as a scenario we created ourselves. It's you know, we've got a lot of problems, not only on the pitch but behind the scenes. But unfortunately, we're in a bit of a spot where you know, we're playing, you know, you guys, of course, fresh off the back of officially becoming champions. Again, we are hoping for a hangover performance, but still a lot of riding on it for both yourselves and us. Of course, the 100-point barrier is there for you guys. And again, yep, the guard of honor maybe and all this kind of stuff. And again, get your hands on the trophy. I don't expect you guys to play your weekend side. So it is a struggle. It's going to be a struggle for us. And I don't know if I'm, you know, when we got relegated from this division to League One before, I was more depressed than I am now, because I just fear that we kind of semi-deserve it a little bit. And my only fear is that, you know, despite our situation, we have the championship's top goal scorer, and he is a bit of a valuable asset. I don't want him to leave for peanuts. I'd rather us sell him next season for a bit of a significant bit of money, which of course will help us in the long term. So that's my only, you know, we're here, we deserve it. But I don't know what to think about this game.
I was like that last season. You know, it was just coming and coming and coming. So it wasn't, I didn't shed any tears. And, you know, as I always say, look, there's worse things going on in the world than, you know, a couple of poor games of football. But yeah, Shvodich, if you want to kind of leave him behind when you travel home after the match, we wouldn't mind. But no doubt talk about him later. But look, but I have put your details in the description below. As we can see with Rover Seas, you are not very clever, that. You are not from these shores. Where are you from, and how can people find you online?
Well, originally I was from the UK. You know, I spent the vast majority of my youthful years. I'm getting on a little bit now, and ex British Air Force, did my 12 years with those guys, and relocated 12 years ago. Since then, first in Pennsylvania, now deepest darkest Georgia, aka the swamp. In the swamp over here. I'm on the majority of platforms, you know, like you say, X or / Twitter, and on YouTube. And I've been doing this for a little bit. I think I started doing this when we were in League One last time. Could come back full circle. You never know.
Seasons do tend to run into each other after a while, don't
right,
they?
Right.
You know, like I said before, I mean, I've got a soft spot for Blackburn, even though they did sack me, because I did work with them for a while. I actually lived in Blackburn, not at that time. Weird, I was working at Blackburn Rovers, but I was living in Burnley. I got danger money. But I did live at Blackburn for a while. I don't know if you remember Ewood. That was a different, shall we say. That was a very different place. But no, I lived there, lovely people, and I've always got a soft spot for sort of where I've worked or sort of lived. So I don't want us to lose, because I want us to go out. I mean, you must hope that, you know, I know you said you don't expect us to, but, you know, when we played Preston the other day, and I've got to just say, in all fairness, and my computer's just fallen over, but I've got to just say thank you very, very much to Preston. Because they not in any sarcastic way, although I did realize that did come across as sarcastic, but no, they were very good at the end of the game. I mean, I think we were there 30 minutes after the final whistle, and the players were going down the tunnel, then coming back out, and you know, we had the sort of the board out, and they were playing all sort of the Leicester music. So fair play. I've got to say a big, big thank you to Preston. And when I lived in Burnley and Blackburn, I used to go to Preston a lot, because it was always family football day. So it was a pound for kids. So thanks so much. But Preston were absolutely awful. They were. I mean, they were in the first game early on in the season. How they were like third, I think, when they played us. How they got there, God knows. But I thought they were literally playing in the flip-flops. That bad. You know, I think I could have been in goal. Our goalie had that little to do. Last time we got promoted to the Premier League was we were playing away at Bolton. We beat them and we went up. So a lot of similarities. One similarity you might like, we played Brighton the game after that and they stuffed us.
We'll see about that on Saturday. I don't know which way this will go. I know a lot of people are predicting a Rovers defeat here. And I was the same with Leeds when we played Leeds at Elland Road. I was thinking a defeat, but football and the Championship is a funny old game, and you just really don't know what Rovers will turn up, because you know we can grind something out. We can sometimes play a bit of football, but I guess the likelihood of that is more not than on, well, off than on, if you know what I mean. That's why we're in the situation that we're in right now.
Yeah. I want to talk managers with you. You've had a couple this season. Now, at the start of the season, no way did we expect Enzo Maresca to walk through the door. He six days before he walked through our door, he was holding the Champions League trophy and working with Pep Guardiola. We're like, what? And I was actually said, right, there's two managers I want to come to the club. One of them was McKenna, which actually, as it worked out, would have been a good shout. The other one was John Dahl Tomasson, of course, your ex-manager, who has got a bit of a better record than your current manager. Did he have to go?
If you turn the clock back to when he was at the helm, of course, last season, fantastic season, just missed out on the playoffs by on goal difference. This season, we came in, you know, with a bit of expectation. Well, the fans came in with a bit of expectation, but I think logistically and operationally, our budget was halved or whatever. It was cut to smithereens. And basically the goalposts had been moved. The expectations were moved. But for the most part, the majority of our key personnel were there last season, were here. We did lose a couple of them, Diaz being one of them. But, we made some appointments to hopefully, at least try and fill those shoes. The season, the football still was okay to watch. You know, again, we were left, right and centre. We're hearing opposition fans saying they're great to watch, great team to play against or whatever. We're hearing all these good plaudits, but we weren't getting the results. Now, this is a results business. And despite how good looking he is and how, his record was, at any other club, that form was a sackable bit of form. It was, we were really down in the dumps. Big games are coming up. We're coming up with those teams in and around us that we needed to pick up points. So any other club that have owners that care for their club would have made a decision far sooner than what transpired later on. When, of course, the decision came for him to move on and us to consider something else, it was more of a mutual understanding. And I think the hierarchy would have actually kept the status quo as it was. You know what I mean? They would have kept him there until the end of the season if maybe some sort of transfer business didn't work out. I think Adam Wharton was a major factor in John Dahl Tomasson. Thinking, I think I've had a go. I've got some opportunities on the table. So I think he jumped before he was pushed, but I don't think that push was ever going to come. I think if he'd kept his mouth quiet or just kept on doing whatever, even despite the form, he would still be managing us to this day. And perhaps we might even be in a better position than we are to this day because
We know very, very well about keeping managers past the sell-by date.
I doubt it. I don't think he passed the sell-by date. It was a season and a half considering when Moby was here for 5 years. Venky's have got a weird relationship with managers. They would keep people long, like you said, way past their expiration date, but also they also trigger happy to a point to try and please the fans during two or three of the earlier seasons for them. But they stuck with Mowbray. I think they would have stuck with JDT, but the financial mess that we're in a little bit right now and the sale of one of the best academy products we'll ever see. For what we thought was good money, which now looks like it was a bit of a bargain for Crystal Palace, but that were the straws that broke the camel's back for JDT because he got no reinvestment. We brought in John Fleck, got injured after 2 seconds, kicking a ball corner, out for the rest of the season. So, you know, he left before he was pushed. And I think we went for, at the time, this fella here, which seemed to be a good move when on paper, and for probably his wage or salary is probably cheap. You know, and we can look at John Eustace's time at Birmingham again, last season, more of a sort of saving season, just to kind of like a patching the woodwork sort of thing last season for Birmingham. But this season starting off really well. They had new owners. They decide to go for a Wayne Rooney. And then...
did that laugh come out loud then?
Yeah. So when we did hire this fella here, I think the general consensus was it's a cheap appointment, potentially got good possibilities for him, but right now, if you ask the fan base where we sit with Eustace, I think a lot of it's going to rest on this game or at the end of the conclusion of Saturday. I think if we stay in this division, give him a summer. If we are to go down, I think we're going to have a conversation. I would, as fans, I think we should have a conversation as to this guy had since January or February even to and look at the win rate. It's pretty much a bit of a joke.
I mean, it doesn't look good. But then, I mean, you've lost. But the fact of how many of those draws could have been wins, that's the thing there, of course, which you would know more than we would.
Well, I think a lot of the performances have been shaped to be draws. It was a must not lose sort of approach to a lot of these games. Even the fans, there was a couple of clips of some of the senior pros of us saying, hang on, you know, against Millwall being one of them where we looked like had a bit of momentum, but the players just kind of slowed it down to just save the point instead of blowing that 1 point. So I think the wrong mentality is running through the team at the moment, and hopefully a summer in this, you know, back in the championship, but hopefully a summer can sort of shake that out and we can see the real Eustace next season. I think there is some more to come or better to come from him. I just fear that if tomorrow or Saturday goes the wrong way and we're in League One, I don't want this guy to be the guy to try and motivate the team to get us back to the championship.
I say it's funny because, like I say, he was doing, you know, well this season at Birmingham, and then they went down that we want a big name and look where, you know, they could actually, they're fighting you to try and stay up in this division. I mean, you know, we know we've got fantastic owners. I mean, we had our awards night a couple of nights ago, and, you know, he gave $500,000 to our charity after our late chairman. Which is why it makes such a joke of all these, you know, financial fair play shit, because we've got the money. Do you know what I mean? But to me, it all seemed to go wrong for Blackburn when it was. I mean, I know Jack Walker passed, but I think it was probably his family or his estate sold the club to the Venkies, if you like. And so I think at the time you had Sam Allardyce, who. The fans, and I lived in Burnley at the time, so I did see sort of quite a bit of it, that was not very popular with the fans, and you wanted him out, and then they sacked him, I suppose, in a way to sort of say, look, you know, we're in touch with the fans, so to speak. And you got Keane. Unfortunately, it wasn't Roy Keane. I can't even remember his first name.
But believe me, we know the guy's name. And
I mean, he was an absolute disaster, wasn't he?
Yeah. It was, you know, don't get me wrong. Like the Venkies, even to this day, pump money into the club to keep us afloat, whereas others, people or owners would, you know, let us rot. So they do their bit. But I think I guess the purchase of the club might initially probably had good intentions. They were just misguided by some sleazy individuals that took advantage of their money to benefit themselves. And again, Steve Keane was one of those weasels that kind of, you know, maybe I think he was part of the Sam Allardyce backroom staff saying, why have Sam Allardyce when you can have me for half the money or whatever? And subsequently got the job, and the rest, as they say, is history. And we never bounced back from that that fateful decision, which cost us our Premier League status. And, you know, we've been living in a bit of a pickle since those days. So,
I don't know whether you got rid of John Williams or whether it was mutual or he left, but he was one of the best, whatever his title was, chief executives or whatever, at any club in the country.
Yeah. He was lauded at the time. I think he was made, I think his position was under review when the new ownership took over, and I think he then left to Manchester City at the time, and I think Mark Hughes was also, part of, I think he was one of their managers at the time, way before the Mancini era and all that kind of stuff. So he left, Hughes as well. There was a lot of dealings between the early ownership of the oil money at Man City. You know, they bought Rocky Santa Cruz from us for a bit of money, and they took Hughes, and eventually they took John Williams as well. So they seemed to steal our good things, the good things that we had.
Yeah, go and raid your old club. Excuse me, that just went down the wrong hole, that drink then. Excuse me. Talking to managers, that was ours. And like I said, hard to think that he's been here for a year now. It was what we needed. I was saying this on TalkSport earlier. I was doing the Championship podcast. And we'd had such a bad year. It had all gone wrong under Brendan. Top had tried to stay loyal to him. Didn't work out. Dean Smith was brought in too late. I think if he'd come in earlier, who knows? But then, you know, we've got to look at this and think, I think we're in better shape now than we were when we came down. You know, we got rid of a lot of dead wood. We got a new manager in. And we didn't think about, well, is he any good at managing? We just say, well, 6 days ago he was holding the Champions League trophy, used to work with Pep, and it took our minds off it, and it was probably what we needed. And then we started to think, well, hang on a second. He didn't get on very well at Parma. And then when you looked into it, he was turning it round, but they just didn't give him the time. And 6-odd games just isn't really time at all. And then what a season. And what I like about him is, and my colleague Kate, who does this with me sometimes, she said he's very good at deflecting things he doesn't want to talk about. Now, if he knows that there's going to be loads of questions about Vardy and he might not be picking him, he just says he's injured. And that kills it dead. And then we see him on the Saturday thinking, really? You know. But and we went mad. I mean, 17 points clear at one time. And it was like, well, we're going to go for this record. We're going to go for that record. We're going to get this. And in fairness to Enzo, he always said, it's not going to last. Don't think this is going to last. And it didn't. You know, and then Leeds won a couple of games, went above us eventually by one goal. Were there for 2 weeks, thanks to an international break. And they went and bought the open top bus. and then they lost a couple, and they crawled back under the stones, and we haven't seen them since. So if anybody's watching from Leeds, hello. We're pleased with him. And I think the thing about Enzo is the style that he plays. It is very much in the Pep mold. And, you know, we were top of the league with 17 points clear, and fans were saying, this is boring. I'm not happy with this. And we're going, seriously? I mean, don't get me wrong. If it was a bad game and he deserved criticism, we criticized, I criticized him. But, like, if this is boring football, bore me every week, please. but then when we had our bad patch, the other teams didn't take advantage, and that was the thing. And I think his style of football is going to suit us really well when we move up to the Premier League. Just a couple of questions just to jump in here. Just as Leeds will win the league. League One, maybe, when they dropped out of that. Are we allowed to? Yes, we are going to be allowed to sign players. It looks, because it was the EFL that was stopping us. Look, I don't know. That's so complicated and convoluted. Apparently, you know, like you can change your name, like you and me can go to somewhere and we can, you know, decide to call ourselves something else. We are going to call ourselves Manchester City B. And that way we won't get any fines or anything. Yvonne, hello, everyone. Well done, Leicester. And thanks, Chris, for the game report. You are so good at it and it makes it good to listen to. Yvonne, thank you so very much. You are very kind. And the check's in the post for you. And as I always do, it's an old joke, but I love doing it. Adele is in. Hello. All right, should we move on? I think we should. Right, what is coming up next? Let me have a look. Ah, yes. I usually say, did you go to this? But of course, you wouldn't have done because you're over in America. But when we played you, Adele, even he's joining in with me now. Hello. That really doesn't. You changed your tune, Hating on Enzo, a few weeks ago, fair weather fan Chris. Mr. D, if it's Mr. D who I think it is, who is a Nottingham Forest fan, remember to wave at us as we pass each other and you come down and we go up, possibly. You know, your channel, shit, really, isn't it? But you know, it is. I've watched it, and I'm honest with you. I turn around, stick pins in my eyes. But you know, fans, we are here as a channel, and you probably don't do this on your channel, so I don't know. But yes, we criticize. And did I not just say a few minutes ago, before you know he came out from under his stone and came in? Did I not just say that I criticized Enzo when needed? I believe I did. So, Mr. D, do me a favour and go and do one, please. In fact, do what? There we go. I'll get rid of you. Save you having to do it. He's a Nottingham Forest fan, and to be honest with you, the guy's a complete wanker, to put it bluntly. look, you know, we had an early goal against you last time. I don't know if you remember the game at all.
Yeah, horrible. Yeah.
FaZe got us off after 4 minutes, and that's a rare sight. And Schmuddick's got one after nine. I mean, he has been the one shining light for you this season, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, without his goals, we'd be challenging Rotherham for sure down the foot of the table. Probably would have been relegated a long, long time ago. So glad that we got him. Glad I got him when we did get him at the start of last season. It took him a year to really find his key attributes, but this year he really stood up to the plate, because we worried where the goals were going to come from past seasons. We've had regular goal scorers. We've had Adam Armstrong, Bradley Dack. We used to have a double digit seasons. We had Roberto Diaz double digits. So when all of those guys left, we were looking at the squad, thinking, pinning our hopes on, dare I say it, Sam Gallagher, who has never really returned to his earlier form when he was a youngster. So, very, very much happy with his performance this season. And I already know that, you know, I don't have to be Mystic Meg to see next season he won't be with us. I'm sure we will sell him for something. And he'll either be, you know, back with you guys in the Prem, or he will be at a club that's going to be knocking on the door next time around. And I don't think that's going to be us, unless something weird goes on over the summer.
I don't think we can afford him, to be honest with you, with the financial problems that we're going to have. So I don't think he will be wearing the blue of Leicester next season. But in fairness to you, I mean, we, like I said earlier, we started off at a huge, you know, pace, you know. Coventry in the first game, our nearest rivals, beat them. Beat Burton in the Carling Cup, fair, and the Caribou Cup. But then we beat Huddersfield, we beat Cardiff, Rotherham, Tranmere in the Cup. We did then lose to Hull, but then we went to Southampton, who was supposed to be one of our big rivals for coming up. We put four past them. We beat Norwich, who were obviously, again, supposed to be up there. Bristol City, okay, we lost to Liverpool in the Carabao Cup, but we'd gone ahead. And then, of course, we came and played yourself. So, and after that, we went on and beat Preston and Stoke. So, apart from the whole game, we were really in a rich vein of form. And you were probably a little bit, and I don't mean this disparagingly, but almost like lambs to the slaughter there, because everybody that we were playing, we were just beating.
Yeah. Well, and again, the way we were playing with JDT, who is a more of a, when you look at the two managers and compare them, more of a modern style manager and wanted to give it a go. Once you, especially with the talent that you guys got on the team and also on the bench against our makeshift sort of team that's packed with academy youngsters here. Yeah, it definitely was a sort of lambs to the slaughter. I think we were right. We were gonna, before that game, we were rolling off the back of last year's FA Cup game against you guys, where we picked up FA Cup scalp.
I said earlier, you played well against us in that game. You deserved it.
Yeah, it was. I was a good cup run, and that's of course it ended up being. We were so close to the playoffs, and again missed opportunity, because I think those playoffs with Luton, Coventry, I don't even know who the other couple were, but it was Sunderland, I think, squeaked in there. It was probably, that was our golden opportunity to maybe make a return to the promised land, because this season, you guys, amongst others, it's been a very tasty looking division. Ipswich been surprised. But you've got your Leeds, the Southamptons, Norwiches, even West Brom. It's a packed league, and I don't know about next year. I think Sheffield United. I don't know. It might be a weakened division next year. But we've got returning Portsmouth. Bolton might be back. Derby. They're all awkward kind of teams, big supporting clubs, and it's going to be a tough. Whether what happens this Saturday, what division, I actually might even favour a season in League One, because we might win more games down there compared to some of the heavier duty dudes.
But when we went down to League One, I think we only lost something like 4 or 5 games all season. And it was just a brilliant thing. Somebody said to me, I think it was about 6 or 7 games in, how are you enjoying the Championship? I went, it's great to be winning again. And sometimes you need to take a step back to take 2 forward. And look, I love the Championship. I have said for ages that it's the 5th best league in your away days are great. But when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with 3 for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
And probably better than some of the, the German and certainly it's, I've enjoyed it. And I've got one of my good friends is a Burnley fan, Dan, who does the Burnley fan channel. Sorry to mention that word. but he, obviously they got relegated and they came straight back up. And when we got relegated, he said, you know what? He said, you're going to love it. He said, it's proper football. They're not stopping every 5 minutes because somebody's farted next to a player and he's fallen over. The goal goes in, you celebrate it. You look at the linesman, his flag's down, you celebrate it. And it's been absolutely brilliant. And I think that you look at the league and you've got so many teams with so many points. Southampton, 84, normally that'd get you into second. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing is, and we'll talk about the table that sort of later on, but I've loved this division. I really, really have. And I know we want to be in the Premier League, but I wish we could just take this division with us. Predictions, trying to predict it has been absolutely impossible, because whoever you think's like 1-3 on the trot, so you predict them to win, they go and lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what worries me for the weekend. You know, I think we will lose, but yeah. I'm hoping that's going to be hoping it's enough that other teams lose. But you know, like strange, and again, you know, our form is pretty up. Like, not even stop start, it's very much stop. And yours is now 3 on the bounce, I think. So yes. You think like you guys nailed on for a win, but you just don't know in this division.
You don't really know. Well, look, you know, Millwall were down there, they beat us. Plymouth were down there, they beat us. But look, this is your season form. 19th, he played 45, won 13, drawn 11, lost 21. The blue arrow, by the way, as you probably can guess, is where you had a change of manager, and it hasn't improved. I wouldn't say it's gone massively worse, but you just, you know, you were very, I suppose, in real terms, you haven't left it too late, had you?
No, but you know, the schedule that we had at that time of change of managers, I guess, when you had Birmingham, what, we got Preston, Norwich. There was a lot of winnable games there that could have or should have projected us upwards.
Yeah.
You know, but
it like didn't. We said earlier, you know, he had 16 matches in charge, John Eustace. He's drawn 9 of them.
Yeah,
and that can be what, you know, 1-2. That could be the stat that actually does send you down.
I'm trying to think about the winning two. I think the Leeds is one of them. You know, I don't know if you've credited the Stoke one as a victory for John, or because that was an interim manager and he was just in the touchlines and he came down for the second half, and some people have awarded him that game, whereas others.
I, to be honest with you, used Wikipedia, so it's okay. Probably completely wrong.
I'm trying to remember the second one. Let me have a quick look at that there. Oh, Sunderland. Yeah, Sunderland and Leeds are the only victories there. Okay.
Well, you see, he managed something we didn't manage to do, which was beat Leeds. So yeah. they did the double over us. But no, you know, again, like you just said then, you know, touching on your form. Oh, just a quick question for you before we go any further. Spencer was asking, where did Blackburn get Smodic from?
We got him from Peterborough. He, of course, is an older, compared to the rest of our guys, he is an older fella. I think late 20s, 28, maybe 29. He had a crack at the championship before with Bristol City. He only played like 6 games and then he was sold on to Peterborough. And they were also in the championship with him. I think they got relegated to League One. We picked him up for $2.5 million, which of course for us right now these days is like, you know, crazy money. He's been a revelation.
Yeah. And this is the form table as it stands at the moment. On the last 5 overall, and I'm not trying to sort of kick you when you're down, but you know, we're 4th, you're 19th. Our home form has improved greatly. We're now 3rd in the last 5 games on the form. You're 23rd on your current away form. I mean, everything on paper does look towards a Leicester win. But as Brian Clough once said, you know, I had a great team on paper. Unfortunately, the game was played on grass. And that, you know, like I say, Brighton stuffed us afterwards. And look, you know, we've got the trophy, whatever happens, you know. Yep. And all right, it's at home. I know the players are going to want to go out with a bang and, you know, want to get to that 100 points. I mean, the one thing, like I said, earlier in the season, I want this record and I want that record and I want that record. And then all I was bothered about was getting second. As long as we finish second, we're up.
Well, yeah.
We have beaten Manchester. We had won the second tier, whatever guise it was in, more times than any other team, equal with Manchester City. So we've now gone one ahead of them and they ain't going to be dropped down this low to do it. But yeah, I mean, again, looking at that, I mean, you've got 2 draws in there. Coventry probably wasn't a bad point, really, because, you know, although it was post-FA Cup and they've struggled, they've had a good season.
They have, and they it should have been a win for us. They were down 10 men for a good, you know, 30 minutes. Well, for 30 minutes at the end there. We should have put them to the sword. And if we had got that one goal, then we would have come in here with our flip-flops on with those extra 2 points. But we couldn't get over the line, even with Smodic. He had a couple of gilt-edge opportunities. And, you know, I just hope that's not going to bite us in the backside come Saturday. And again, yeah, maybe, just maybe my focus will be more on the Plymouth game or the Birmingham game than this one, because, you know, it's going to be near on Mission Impossible, but so was the Leeds game. Mission Impossible at Elland Road, no one beat them all season. And watching that game, it was more like damage control, just don't lose badly. And if we could, you know, my ideal scenario would be a draw. That's all we need, is 1 point, a 0-0 draw. If we decide at the start kickoff, you know, let's just knock the ball about and not do anything stupid. We don't want to break your guys' legs. You know, imagine we take out Dewsbury Hall's leg. You know, you don't want that.
He's worth a bit of money.
Exactly. So, you know, we should meet in the middle here. You know, let's take it easy. You take it easy. We take it easy. We won't break your legs.
I go back to when Ron Greenwood was England manager. I don't know if you remember. I think it was the 82 World Cup or something like that. I don't know how old you are. Might be doing you an injustice here. I think we were playing Romania at Wembley. I'd gone to see the match, and we'd lost a load of games, and we didn't have much chance of going through, and nobody had bought tickets. So me and my mate said, we'll have a day in London, and we'll chuck the match in at night. And then suddenly everybody else started losing and we could qualify. And Hungary had qualified, and we were playing Romania in the same group. And Romania and Hungary are a bit like England and Scotland. They kind of hate each other. And when they kicked off, I mean, you know, the Romanian players were like this. Yeah. And literally just passing it around. The game ended up in a draw, which was good because they went up, but so did we. And it meant that Hungary didn't go up. So you never know. You never know. But just looking at that again there, you see, you got a draw against Southampton, the top teams, but you lost to Sheffield Wednesday.
They just wanted it more. They were more passionate about it. And, you know, it was always going to be one of those. That was one of those big games, just like Huddersfield Birmingham the other day. It was, you know, both sides were too afraid to go for it. Or on this one, we were just, again, it's the mentality that's running through the club at the moment. It's just we're like trying to avoid defeat. Yeah. But in the end, we were a couple of goalkeeping howlers which didn't do us any favors, and that pretty much, you know, put us where we were, really. There's no coming back after a couple of, you know, I think it was a semi howler first for the first goal for Wednesday. Smodic equalized, and then an absolute train wreck of a horror, the second goal, a complete air, you know, one of the blue, if we still did the blooper VHSs, it would be one of them ones that you would just play back and you couldn't believe what you saw. So
remember it now. I hadn't seen it. It was your goalkeeper, wasn't it?
Yeah, air kick, and what is he doing? Oh, so that put it. And then so we were chasing, trying to get something out of it, and they got third, and pretty much game over. And again, Sheffield Wednesday, that put them in a really comfortable position, and they now level on points with us, and they take on a really woeful Sunderland right now, who are just garbage, just can't see them getting anything out of that. Like Sunderland getting anything out of that, because they are just crap and can't give us stuff.
Well, no, I mean, and then I'm looking again, and I don't want to sort of say make it worse, but Bristol City, that was a horror show. But are you worried that I'm worried that you'll get an early goal, because we're very good at allowing that to happen, and then, you know, we can't seem to break teams down. Are you worried that if we get an early goal, that it could be like another Bristol City game?
No, I don't think so. I don't think, I think, cause it, you know, if it is in our hands, of course, a point or more is enough. I don't think we'll experience another one of those Bristol City ones more, especially right now. I think if you get an early goal, I think you, like, looking at it from your point of view, I don't think you're going to, I don't think you'll kick the ass out of it. I don't think you want to embarrass us or anything like that. I'm sure you've got the capabilities to do that, but I don't think, for you guys, it's, you don't need to win by 10-0 or something like that, which, you know, is definitely doable. But no, I don't fear that. I don't think that will happen. And even if it does do that, no matter how badly we lose, well, I think the sort of factor that could go against us is Birmingham. If Plymouth were to win and Birmingham win, Birmingham is like 3 points adrift on us. They got level goal difference with us at the moment. So any win for Birmingham against our defeat puts them above us.
I'm looking at the table there. I think Huddersfield are gone, I think.
Mathematically, they could do it, but they need a 15-goal swing. They need to win like 6-0, and the other team, somebody needs to lose 7-0.
I think it's goodbye Huddersfield. Well, it is goodbye Huddersfield. Yeah. So it's four teams there going after one, that last, or trying to avoid that, not going after it, obviously, trying to avoid that 22nd place. I think Birmingham are you possibly your main rivals. Sheffield Wednesday, I mean, their goal difference, that is the big thing in the favour of the other teams, isn't it? That they're double, almost double yourself, well, certainly double Plymouth and almost double Birmingham and yourselves. I think you've just got to better whatever Birmingham do.
Yeah. And the sort of pros in our column is both Birmingham and Plymouth are taking on a team that are still trying to get in the playoffs. I think Plymouth have got Hull outside the playoffs, can get in at the expense of West Brom, maybe Norwich. And then Norwich are playing Birmingham. And again, they're trying to secure their spot in the thing. So, they've got the more pressing games, but they're both at home. Both Plymouth and Birmingham are at home. We're away. Sheffield Wednesday are away, but they play Sunderland, who, like I said, have been really. If the season was five games longer, or maybe even two games longer, I think Sunderland would be, you know, the team to watch to go to the drop, because they've been just not with it for a long time.
And yet they were up there earlier in the season in the playoffs. But so I don't wish to make it even worse for you, but I think Norwich are almost guaranteed playoff. Norwich have got plus 16.
Yeah, well, there's a 7-goal swing there. So if one side wins 4-0 and the other one loses 3-0.
Yes.
You know? That's a doable scenario, but it is.
Yeah. I think it's the whole City Plymouth one and the Birmingham.
Norwich might just do it like, you know, take it easy and go for a draw. A point's good enough.
To be honest with you, we saw it with Preston. We absolutely saw it with Preston. And like I say, that's my worry. Having remembered that Brighton result from a few years ago, that's my worry, that is what's going to happen, that you come and surprise us. It depends how much, because there was a lot of talk early on in the season about the 116 points and it would be breaking even what Reading got by 10 points and all this. And I think that might just be a case that they might be just be saying, look, at least if we can get to triple figures, that's going to put us on that chart, you know. So, it's going to be an interesting day. There'll be a lot of radios in the grounds, I'm sure. But okay, so Blackburn. We will be playing the same as we always do. I could probably pick the team for, unless he surprises us with a couple of youngsters, we pretty much could pick the team. It's going to be, I don't know. It could be Stolarczyk in goal again. He started against Preston. You're going to have Vestergaard, Faze, and possibly Cody in the back. Ricardo as that right back, but goes into the midfield with Winks. Fatou and Mavididi either side. You're sweating now, aren't you? Probably Ndidi or Eunice in the middle with Kieran Dewsbury-Hall. And we all know that this could be the last time that, you know, the fans see him with a blue Leicester shirt on at King Power. I know he said that he's a Leicester lad and he wants to stay, but it might not be his choice, unfortunately. Right. And I have a feeling he'll stick with Jamie Vardy up front.
Well, he's a bit of a shithouse merchant, and he liked to rub it in when he scored at our place. So I would, and I guess, you know, I don't know where he is in the Leicester goal scoring ranks.
Overall, he's up there. I don't know how, whether he's certainly in the top five. This season, he's our top goal scorer. He's 37, for God's sake.
I know.
He's the Duracell bloody bunny.
Yeah, well, it's making up for lost time in those early years. But, Rovers, we don't, but Eustace Ball has been pretty miserable. But more than likely, it could be a back five for Rovers. We'll probably stick with Aisley Pears between the sticks. We'll have Dom Higham, McFazian, who is 37, 38 at the back there, and Hayden Carter. On the left, it'll be Pickering. On the right, it'll be Callum Britton. Into midfield, we'll probably have Sondre Tronstad, is our Norwegian. He's been a decent pickup. And then Joe Ranke-Costello will be alongside him. Then it'll be who will we have? We'll have Gallagher, Smodic, and Dolan, I think. It pretty much does pick itself as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's our strongest 11. We're just desperate for the off season, and hopefully we can have some pennies to rub together to bring in some bodies, because we are short on experience, and it's just been a woeful year.
Geordie, thank you so very much. Newcastle fan, is a regular in here. Welcome back to the Foxes. I hope to see you all in St. James's Park sooner. And also love to be back in King Power Stadium. You've been more than welcome. I love the Geordies, and I can't understand a word they say, which is always great when they're in here and typing. I've worked on telephones in telephone sales and customer service for years, and the Scottish accent I could not understand, and I'm sorry, Geordie, but the Toon accent, that was. But if somebody came up and said, "Hello, no, I'm going to have to cut you off. I can't hear you. You're there." Cut them off. I just couldn't understand them. But thanks so much for your kind words. And you're right, Craig. Bournemouth fan down the road from me. 116 points would have been unbelievable. Wasn't to be. And it says Michael, but I think it's David Gambling. Hi, mate. How are you doing? Welcome back as normal. I suppose if I was to say to you, you know, who should we fear? It's got to be Smodic, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, you know, and again, he's been the walking wounded. Every time he takes a tumble, we fear the worst. Of course, now there's nothing to fear, because this is it. This is the last game. Yeah. We don't really need to pin our hopes on the next two or three weeks, because this will probably be his last time in a blue and white shirt, if we're completely honest, unless we have some sort of, you know, revelation or something going on over the summer that maybe gives the belief that we could find some money and to, you know, to change things up a little bit. But no, even if he was out of the equation, I would probably say, you know, I don't even know who the next best thing would be. I think Joe Ranke-Costello, of course, local lad, doesn't really get any headlines whatsoever. But he's the one that, you know, is more dedicated to the badge, I guess, than a lot of these other folks at the moment. Yeah. So, you know.
Well, we will be looking at somebody that's been at both, and we'll do that straight after this.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts,
including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
David Speedy. Been at both. The only guy that whenever I've asked ex-players to come on here and chat on the channel is the only one that has ever said to me, "How much are you paying?" So maybe that sums him up. Look, for us, love-hate relationship. He tripped over himself and got you a penalty, which got you up into the Premier League. So we all thought he was a huge cheater. And then he came to Leicester and did the same for us in one of the semis. So a bit of a love-hate relationship. I've got to say, though, when he was with us, he didn't, you know, play that regularly. He was injured a bit, but he always gave it all for the club, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a goal scoring machine for us as well, and the twilight, well, the sort of important years, you know, without his goals, we wouldn't have made that glorious hurdle. He was only with us for a season or two seasons, I don't think.
I think he got rid of him as soon as he got promoted.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we had a bit of money back in the day, and we went for this young guy called Alan Shearer, and you know, the rest is history.
Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. He probably works as a baker now or something. I don't know.
I would imagine. And the funny thing was, because when he then came to us, and he wasn't able to play in the playoff final, but when he came to us, he actually had it written into his contract that if we went up, we didn't get rid of him. Because you'd done it to him, and I think somebody else had done it to him as well. So, yes, bless him. And there's been one or two, actually, that have been at both, but he was the one that kind of stood out for me.
Bobby Savage.
Yes. Well, what can we say about Savage? I don't know. Leicester fans seem to have hate on certain fans, and it was like Alan Smith's another one, not just played for us both, but we hate him. There's become a commentator that, well, he never says anything nice about us. Well, they don't, that's not their job, you know what I mean? They're not there just to say, you know, to commentating on Leicester how wonderful Leicester are. I like Savage, to be honest with you. He's one of those players that when he's playing for you, you love him, but when he's playing against you, you want to get on that pitch and strangle him.
Yeah, he was a shithouse merchant, also, yeah. That the words that we call it, or you know, yeah, and you need those. You need those sort of guys in your midfield, yeah. Kind of like causing some problems. So
was it? Yes, because I was watching him on one of the shows he was doing after, we were having a talk after the match, and he was saying he actually forced a move away from a club. Was that Blackburn?
I don't know. I don't think so.
He was at Birmingham as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, it could have been them, but no, I don't think. I think he was, you know.
Oh no, because Mark. I think Mark Hughes was your manager when Savage was there.
Testing my memory now. I can't remember. I
wanted to go to Blackburn, so wherever he was, and I think he might have been Birmingham. He literally forced a move.
Right.
You know, but yes, right. This is the moment that everybody hates, because it is predict the score time. And we always let guests go first. You can have, if you want a heart and a head one, you can do. Or you can just go for one.
Well, my heart says it will be a 0-0 draw. You know, everyone's happy. You guys, a point closer to your thing, but you've already got the trophy. You know, that's what my heart says. My head says, though, I'm going to go with a 2-0 win for Leicester. Right. And, we'll just be keeping an eye out on St. Andrews and wherever Plymouth play, home park or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
So see how they get on.
I have got a feeling about this that it could go wrong. Because let's be honest with you. You know, as much as anything else, and if staying up wasn't a big enough incentive, spoiling an opposition's party is another huge incentive. We've all seen that happen. But I am going to say I've got to feel confident because we are on that run. We are at home, and it would get us to the 100 points. And again, I feel like I've been kicking you so much today, and I don't mean to. But I am going to. I think you will score. I think Smodic will get one for us. But I'm sorry, I do think we'll get four. So that's the good news, bad news.
You'll
get a goal, but then we're going to get. I just think of the way that, you know, Vardy's going to get one because it's possibly his last game. Kieran Dewsbury-Hall, he'll want to get one because it really could be his last game. And then you've got Mavadidi if he plays, and Fatawu is just unbelievable. I don't know what's going to happen because we've got to sign him. Because when we had him on loan, it was a guaranteed sell-on clause. Now, I was listening to Rob Dorsett on Sky Sports earlier, and he said because of our financial situation, we could actually buy him and then sell him in the same window. Good. I'd sooner Kieran Dewsbury Hall go than Fataru.
He's rapid.
Oh, he's absolutely, he's off scale. He really is. He totally is off scale. Dirt Luck, thank you so very, very much. Whatever happens, I really hope that you stay up. Like I say, I have a soft spot for Blackburn, having worked there. I was like an alcoholic working in a pub, I'll tell you. And you know one of the reasons they sacked me?
No.
Well, apart from the fact that they were trying to save money, and I'm thinking like, well, you probably pay me in a year what you pay some of those footballers in a day, but you know, that when I was talking, that I was talking football too much on the phone.
Oh gosh.
Now I'm thinking, hang on a second. I'm ringing up and trying to get somebody to sort of come to us for their, you know, conferences and what have you. Of course I'm going to talk football.
Mm.
And five times out of ten, it was them that brought it up, yeah. You know. And it was all about, you know, and you have sales and on the phone. It's all about building up relationships. And, you know, I was able to sort of, I'd write down, oh, he's a Derby fan or whatever. Then next time I would ring up, have a bit of a joke about the football or whatever. But no, they didn't like that, you know. I mean, weird. But that was pre-Venkies as well, so work that one out.
I know, that's crazy.
Thank you so very much. Like I said at the start, your details are in the description below. I do hope whatever happens on Saturday that you are in this division and can move on and to better things next season. Again, just give a shout out as to where people can find you.
All right. Well, thanks again for having me. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Roverseas and on YouTube at Blackburn Roverseas. We do all sorts of Rovers content and other bits and pieces over there. So you can find me over there. So I appreciate, again, giving up a bit of your time and having a chance to speak with you.
Thank you so very much for coming on, and all the best, like I say, next season, wherever that happens to be.
All right. Thanks, Chris. See you later.
Take care, Dirk. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks to Dirk there. Love that name. Such an American name, isn't it, Dirk? Hello, I'm Dirk. But no, do follow his link. He's in the description below. Do be sure to get over there and give him a follow. As I say, I have nothing against Blackburn. Worked there for a while. I know they sacked me, but I did get a free turkey at Christmas, and it wasn't David Speedy. So, we're nearly at the end of the season. What have we got coming up? We've got a lot coming up. And let me just see if I can bring this up, because coming up next, everybody, is the prediction show. It's the last one, and you're going to have me, Brad, and David all on the same show. So bring your sleeping bags along. I've got to go at 9 because I've got a radio show tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. So Mike Newell. Yes, indeed. I've forgotten about Mike Newell. Good God. I was so annoyed when we sold him to Blackburn. I wanted to keep him. So that's 7 o'clock tomorrow is the prediction show. And then there'll also be details about, we'll be doing it again next season. Next season, we're going to limit it to 20, only a maximum of 20. So you're going to have probably 5 of those will be presenters. So there'll be 15 places. So we'll be talking tomorrow about how to register and what have you for that. And then on Monday, we're going to be a little bit different. It is going to be, normally is the debate show on Monday night. Oh, sorry, I nearly forgot. Oh, my God, how could I forget? Watch along would be my last watch along of the season. And it's 11:45. We'll be here for the preview and the team news. Then we'll do the watch along for the first half. There'll be a half time assessment and there'll be post match reaction. And getting ready for the new season. I mean, Leicester will probably have the home shirt. I've not heard anything, but I'm guessing we'll have our new home shirt on display on Saturday and playing in it. And just as they are, I've got all my graphics ready for next year. So jobs are good then. But yeah, so 11:45, join me for the last watch along, and I need to have a break for the summer because my teeth aren't working. And then on Monday night, like I say, we normally have the debate show, Let's Talk Leicester. Doing something a little bit different this week. It's bank holiday. We were going to do a normal show, but we're going to be doing the Leicester Till I Die TV 23-24 end of season Awards. And basically what has happened is I've asked all the presenters, and they will be nominating within the different categories, the player, the game, the match, the goal, whatever. And then we're going to get Rob Tanner on from The Athletic. So not only will he be talking to us about the season, he will then, from the nominations, be picking who we think should win the award. So it should be good. It should be good. Can't wait for the prediction show. It's tight at the top. Let me just, I think it's Shane, is it? And Doug are very close at the top. Paul's gone 2-0 to Leicester, as has Mr. Vardy. And Craig Guildford's going to go 3-0 to City. Who's going to lift? And Tim Flowers. Oh, my God. Yes, of course. I love Tim Flowers. Brilliant goalkeeper. Who's going to lift the trophy? Jamie Vardy's captain. I think it could be you. So don't be in here for the watch along. You be there. Get a few vodkas and Red Bulls down, you mate. Why am I talking to you as if it is you? Why am I going? So that show is going to be there. That show is going to be on at 7 o'clock on Monday night. And then we'll be doing some specials. And obviously we will be back for the Euros. We've got the Shit Shirt show coming up for the Euros. Me and Doug will be rating all the home and away strips for the European football teams, as we always do before a competition or new season. So our last championship match next season. Of this season, our last championship match of this season, because from obviously moving on, we're going to be doing Premier League watch-alongs. So I've also want to say as well, don't forget that if you prefer to listen to us in podcast form, we do have a podcast. You can find us on Google, well, basically on everything, Amazon, Apple, Spotify. It's all done in conjunction with TalkSport. So we thank them for their support of us. And if you are a member, I really do appreciate it. If you can keep it going during the summer months, that would be absolutely fantastic. There's a list there, as you can see. It's $1.99 a month. Details below in the YouTube description. Please join. It's only $1.99 of your good old English money. We're in the cost of a living crisis, or coming out of it, if you believe the government, but we're still in it. So we don't have a bronze, silver, gold anymore. We just literally... I put all three together and I charge the bronze price. So it's really good value for money. And as long as anything else, if you want to, once you become a member, if you want to come on one of the shows, all you've got to do is message me and we'll get you on live. You know, that's what Dave did. And Dave's now a regular presenter. So, guys, thank you all so very much there to our members. And I've got to say, thank you to everybody that's been in the chat today. Thank you for Dirk. His details below, as I say, in the description. If you're watching this on catch up on YouTube, add your comments in below, unless you're a Forest fan. If you've been listening on Spotify or your favorite podcast platform, whatever that is, thank you very much for lending me your ears. I'm off to have a quick rub down with a wet copy of the Daily Mail. I will see you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Take care, everybody, and thanks for watching.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You'd better like them too, or I'll be back.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
That will conclude this evening's entertainment.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.